Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Glad you're here this morning for Good Friday service. It'll be a neat service. My name is Brett Myers, and I'm the pastor to Southwinds Church at Mahogany. So excited about today because it's kind of our first, as two churches, our first network service together. So glad that you're here with us this morning. It's going to be a neat, neat service. And so what I want to do, if you will, is I want for us to kind of think about the mood for a minute. What do we celebrate on Good Friday? We celebrate something that it almost seems weird to call good, right? We celebrate and we remember the crucifixion of our Savior, the crucifixion of Christ. And so I want you to think back. Try to remove yourself from Calgary, Alberta in 2015. And I want you to think back 2,000 years. And I want you to think about what you know, and we'll explain some stuff if you don't know much about it, but the scene around that very first Good Friday. Just a week beforehand, about 5 days beforehand, Christ had ridden into town. You know the story probably. He rode in on a donkey. And as he rode into town, people laid their clothes, they laid their coats, they laid palm branches on the ground for Christ to ride over. And they lined the streets all the way into town. And they yelled out as he rode in, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Praise this man!" Well, that tune quickly changed. During the course of those next few days, the persecution of Christ began to hit a pinnacle. And Christ began to preach a hard message for people to grasp and people to understand and people to accept, even more so than he had before. And what that led to, as you know, was the events of Good Friday. Christ took some of his closest followers to a garden. And then he began to pray and he began to pour out his Spirit and pour himself out to God, knowing what was coming. As God in the flesh, he knew he'd soon be arrested and he'd be crucified. So he knew that. As he's pouring his heart out, he's got his closest followers in the garden. And you know what happened there, right? They fell asleep. His closest friends on this earth fell asleep. He went back and tried to wake them up. They woke up and, again, fell asleep. As the story goes, one of his followers, one of his very own, Judas, came, as he knew what happened, came leading these religious leaders, these hypocrites and some authorities. They led him through the garden and led him to Christ, and Judas came up to Christ and kissed him on the cheek, the sign that this was the man they were looking for. And with that, Christ was arrested. He was taken off and put through these trials. And as he was turned from person to person and leader to leader, as none of these guys wanted their hands stained with the blood of Christ, it was eventually turned over to the decision of the people. And you know the story, but when he said, "Do you want me to release him or to crucify him?" They yelled out, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Probably many of the same people that had lined the streets just a few days earlier, yelling, "Hosanna," now yell, "Crucify." And as the story goes, during all of these events, Peter, one of the closest followers of Christ, who had boldly proclaimed when Christ had told him just a short time beforehand that he would deny Christ, he said, "Oh no, not me. I never will. If I have to give my life, if I have to die at your side, I will never deny you." And during the course of those events, he denied Christ not once, not twice, but three times. In fact, one gospel author even says that on the third time, he looks and as his eyes and Christ meet, that he is just absolutely wrecked. He runs away broken. Judas also broken over what he did, over the sin he had committed, tried to undo it, took the money back that he'd been given and tried to undo it. And when he couldn't, he went and hung himself. He couldn't bear the weight of that brokenness. And he went and ended his life. And then as Christ is beaten to within an inch of his life, as the very people who are beating him are making light of it, as they're mocking him, as they push a crown of thorns into his head. After he's been severely beaten, they load on his back the cross that he'd be crucified on and make him carry it outside the city up to a hill. And there they drive 5 to 9 inch spikes through his hands and his feet into this cross. They nail him to this cross. And I think about, man, the pain that must have wrecked his body as they lifted that cross up, hoisted his body up on it, and the weight of his body came down against those nails. And there he was, with some of his followers, including his mom, looking on, watching the agony that he was crucified with, and watching him cry out in pain. And then think about how they must have felt when he yelled out, when he cried out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And just a short time later, as they heard his final words, "It's finished. It is finished." They took the body down. They were donated a tomb, and they laid his body in the tomb. And his disciples, including his mom, they go back home. They leave. They go into hiding. Think about the brokenness. Everything they thought that was going to happen, everything they thought about who Christ was, seemed to be destroyed. It seemed to be over. It truly did seem to be finished. We look back now and we know the whole story, and we know that Good Friday was the preparation for Easter Sunday, but put yourself in their shoes. They didn't know what was going to happen. All they knew was that the man that they loved more than any person on the face of this earth, the man that they had been told would establish a kingdom, was now dead.
Love the message. Hana Hayao. Le'ahodo. That's my land. Ina natu Mashiach. Bara de'aleha.
Anea na.
Kutfa!
Mashallah. broken together. That's what we are. You see, in the beginning, when God created the world, He spoke it into existence. He is that great of a God. God simply uttered a word, and out of absolutely nothing came the world we live in. The land and the seas, the earth, the moon, and the stars. The plants and the animals and the fish that inhabit all those places. And then at the pinnacle of God's creation, in Genesis 1:27, tells us that He created man and woman. Genesis 1:27 says that God created them in His image. In His image He created them, and He called them male and female. In 6 days, God spoke into existence the world. And on the sixth day, He looked at all of His creation, everything that He had made, and it says He saw that it was very good. And what He meant by that was that not it was very good because He created it, because it was His, because it was given for His glory. It was created so that it could reflect who He is. And it was good because there was perfect relationship there. And He gave all these trees with all this luscious fruit. And yet, there was one called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that He said, man and woman, or Adam and Eve, you can eat from anything in this garden, in this perfect place. You can eat absolutely anything except from this one tree. And in Genesis 3, verses 6 and 7, we see what happens when the enemy comes, whispers a lie into the ear of the woman. She says, yeah, it wouldn't be so bad. She takes the fruit, she eats it, and immediately she gives it to her husband, he eats it, and immediately they know. They know. Sin has entered the world. God knows. It's broken the heart of God. It's broken relationship with God. It's caused a wall of separation that no bulldozer can push over, that no front loader can destroy, no wrecking ball can break through. It's put a wall there, a chasm that no one can cross. Psalm 51, starting in verse 4, this is a psalm of David. Maybe familiar to some. This is David, and he's repenting of sin. He's been convicted of a decision that he's made. He's having a child with another man's wife out of wedlock. And he's confessing his sin. He says, against you, you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge, because we serve a righteous God. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. David says, I realize that because of the first sin that when it entered the world, I realize that we have all been tainted now. Even the most innocent, precious little one is born with a sin nature because sin entered the world. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother could conceive me. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will clean, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. You see, David understood as he wrote this psalm, as he poured his heart out, he understood that nothing can make him clean, nothing can make his heart right, except one. God alone can make his heart right. And David cried out for it as he confessed his sin, realizing his brokenness. And today, we come together to remember that we are indeed broken. We have had broken relationship with God. But you know what? We come together today to remember the cross. To remember just what Brett described for us at the very beginning of this service. To remember that there could only be one. You read the prophecies on the screen earlier as we were all directed to pray. We read the prophecies. We read how those prophecies were fulfilled in one man who was fully God and fully man. And His name is Jesus. The one who was sinless and the one who could only, the only one that could go up on that cross. You see, sin entered the world and God had to initiate His rescue plan. And it was only by the blood and the sacrifice of His very own Son who was with Him in the beginning when He spoke the world into existence, who watched God's people continue to abandon their God, continue to be adulterous to their God, to go serve other gods when they had pledged allegiance to Him and Him alone. God chose to send His Son. Matthew chapter 27. If you were here with us this past Sunday, you were encouraged to all during the week read from Matthew 21 through the end of the book. To read about all those things that Brett described for us in the beginning of this service. To read about the humiliation that Jesus went through. To read about the torture that He went through. To read about Him being flogged that you saw the background of on the screen. To read about the sacrifice that was made. Matthew 27, starting in verse 57. Jesus He's gone to the cross. He has said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He has breathed His last breath and said, it is finished. When it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph came, who himself had also become a disciple of Christ. He approached Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then Pilate ordered that it be released. So Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean, fine linen, and placed it in his new tomb, which he had cut into the rock. He left after rolling a great stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were seated there facing the tomb. This is where we leave the scene of Good Friday. We leave the scene of Good Friday with the one that has been, the one that was sent, the one that was born of a virgin, the one that taught in ways that no one had ever heard before, the one that healed the lame and gave sight to the blind, the one that forgave sin, the one that took the woman caught in adultery and looked at her captors, looked at her accusers and said, let the first one without sin cast the first stone. This one who challenged the religious leaders of the day, who was the hope of the people of God, who they thought was going to establish a great and mighty and powerful kingdom, this one has now been sealed in a rock, a cleft in a rock. A great stone has been rolled in front of it and set in place so that no one would be able to remove it. This is where we leave Good Friday. The south winds. Do you know why we celebrate Good Friday? Because Sunday's coming. Because Sunday will be here in 2 days. And we celebrate the fact that God raised His Son from the dead, just like He said. But today, as we remember this cross, I want us to remember the fact that when you look at this cross, when you look at this canvas, remember, the world was white. It was pure. It was right relationship with God. Between God and His creation, including people. There was nothing separating them. They had relationship with God that was unfettered. They had conversations with God every day. Until they ate of that fruit. And then all of these things that Darren is writing on this canvas came into this world. And there was only one thing that could take them away. And so today we leave Good Friday with the hope of Sunday. Today we leave Good Friday understanding our brokenness. The things that we prayed for earlier in the service. God, would you make my attitude like Jesus? Would you help me to want to be poured out? To be emptied out of myself. Because what do I have in me? All of these words that Darren is writing on this canvas, that's what I have in me. Anger and wrath and malice and jealousy and lies. I mean, you're not bad people. I get that, right? But if we're born with a sin nature, like David tells us in Psalm 51, we have those things in our heart. We are all capable of them. And it was only the blood of Jesus that was shed that could take him away. And I'm sure you've seen for a little while now, but do you see what's left around all in the middle of all those words? The cross is the only thing that could cover the brokenness that we have. And I pray that that is why you are here today. I pray that you're here today because you have realized in the past that I am broken. And Jesus is the only one that can put me together. I am a mirror that's been shattered, a glass that's been thrown against the wall, a plate that's been dropped from a heavy height and completely disintegrated. That was me. But Christ has put me together again. We're going to talk about that a little bit on Sunday. We would love for you to come be with us on Sunday and invite your friends. But today we leave Good Friday. Jesus, having followed His God, His Heavenly Father, to ultimate obedience, even death on a cross, to being wrapped in fine white linen, put it in a cleft in a rock, and a stone rolled in front of Him, left to decay. His followers left reeling. This is the one. We thought He was the Savior, and He is dead. This is where we leave Good Friday, but we leave it with the hope of Sunday. And today, we're going to do something that Jesus commanded us to do until He returns again. Today, we are going to take what we call the Lord's Supper. You may have heard it called communion. But as you come up, I'm going to invite you. We're going to do something just a little bit different today. You can see we don't have the elements of the Lord's Supper right here. But if you look to your left, look to your right, we have two tables set up. And they've got both the bread and the cup. I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment and take both of the elements, pick them up, take them back to your seat, and then we'll take Lord's Supper together. But before you do that, on our way, I'm going to ask you, sit in your chair and ask God to continue to prepare your heart, because He says, before you do this, make sure your heart is good with me. If you're here today, you're not a follower of Jesus, then this Lord's Supper is not for you, and that's okay. You can make that decision. No one's going to look to their left or to their right. No one's going to keep tabs on who stayed in their chair and who got up. No one's going to look. This is between us and God. This is for followers of Jesus that have said, He has done what He said He came to do. I believe He's conquered death, and I have followed Him all. I want to follow Him with all of my life. He's forgiven me of my sin. He is my master. If you've made that decision, this is for you today. But on your way to get that cup and that piece of bread, I'm going to invite you. We've got more paint in these two mugs right here. It's red paint. I want everyone that's able to walk up. Can I ask you to take a brush? We've got two brushes. And make a mark on this canvas. Because was it just a wooden cross that could take away the sin of the world? No, a cross couldn't do it on its own. In fact, there have been thousands of criminals crucified on very crosses like the one Jesus hung on. But what did it take in order for sin to be forgiven? Blood had to be shed. And so today, when you come up and you make a mark on this canvas, and maybe you want to put your initials on there, maybe you just want to make a streak, whatever you want to do. Now don't draw a picture, okay? But whatever you want to do, whatever God puts on your heart, this is an act of worship, Southwinds. This is an act of us saying, God, it was my sin that caused your Son to go to the cross. I understand that, and I lay it before you. And then I'm going to invite you to, some go left, some go right. Take the elements, take them back to your seat, and we'll observe Lord's Supper together.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled. My ransom.
as we prepare to take communion together. Let me read this passage to you. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 24 says, "For I received from the Lord what also passed on to you on the night when He was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
In the same way, He also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again." Let's drink together. Southwinds, followers of Jesus, we do this together to remember the price that was paid. And we do it and we celebrate this and we take this bread. There's nothing special about this bread. There's nothing special about these cups. It's just grape juice. But what's special is what it signifies. It signifies the blood that had to be shed in order to forgive those sins. It signified the body that was given. It wasn't taken, it was given to us. No one could take Him. If He wasn't willing, no one could take His life. But He willingly gave it. This morning we are going to sing a song called "The Wonderful Cross." And we're going to invite you, let this song be a song of a time of reflection. Let it be a time that we let God continue to seek into our hearts. "It was my sin, God, that put your Son there. And you freely, He freely gave His life for me. And He freely gave His life for the people around me that I know are broken, but they don't know they're broken." Pray for those people today. We're going to encourage you. If you need to sing, then you sing. If you just need to sit and pray, then you sit and pray. If you need to respond, myself and Brett and Anna will be right here in this back corner. And we are ready to pray with you, to listen, if you just need to share. But we're ready for you to respond. You respond as God leads. We pray that this service was a blessing to your heart today. We pray that for all of us, it was a reminder of the brokenness that we would still know apart from the sacrifice that was given in the life of Jesus. As we go from this place today, we're going to encourage you. We love to connect. We love to visit. We love to be family together. But we're just going to encourage that today we try to maintain a reflective tone as we leave this place. We try to continue to still remember the price that was paid, the one that had to be given, the blood that had to be shed, as we go from this place. And I want to invite you, please come back in 2 days. Because in 2 days, we're going to celebrate. In 2 days, we're going to remember a risen Savior. And you're not going to want to miss it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for today. Thank You for Your cross. Lord Jesus, we sing "The Wonderful Cross." And God, it can only be wonderful because in the midst of all the pain and the anguish and the sorrow and the sin that You took on, it can only be wonderful. Because not only were You taken down off the cross, but You were risen from the dead. God, help us to remember as we go throughout this weekend, God, as we read Your word, as we continue to read from Matthew 27 on through the end of the book, God, remember that Sunday is coming. Father, I pray that You would bless and keep every person You've gathered here. Cause Your face to shine on them. Would You turn Your grace toward them? And Father, would You give them peace? In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.